As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's Daner and Jay. All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast. Growlin', Paul Daner Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic. Excited to be here with you on a special day, Jay. It's a special day here at the podcast.
It's groundbreaking day.
We've never done this before, and it's stupid that we've never actually done this. But, you know, the Emmy award winning whip around. What award has the whip around won? That it's often stated that it's award winning, but I don't think anybody's ever actually come forward and say what the whip around that features all our AFC North writers has ever actually won. I think maybe we need to get to the bottom of this.
It's the Athletic subscriber fan favorite article.
Oh yeah, that's right. You don't hear about that often. It's not. No. We don't like to publicize that. You know, we just keep it to ourselves. But we love our beat writers here in the division. We think it's great talking to them, and we normally do, and we still will as the season progresses. Zach Jackson in Cleveland, Mark Caboli in Pittsburgh, Jeff Zrebeck in Baltimore do such a fantastic job in the whip around posts every week, which is just kind of going through questions within the division. And it's always great to get that perspective as this division kind of figures itself out. But we thought, as the season is upon us, Jay, what better time than now to get everybody together for a big group hug? So it's a special episode.
We didn't even have to bribe them. Just sent one text and they all agreed to do it. So it was, I want to thank those guys for doing it. It is a busy time. And anytime you ask somebody to do extra work, a lot of time there's a lot of grumbling, but they were all really eager to do it. And it was a good time.
This will be held over our head. I'm positive of it as the year goes along. There is no doubt. I mean, we're indebted and it's going to never be forgotten. So we've got this episode coming for you. I want to remind you, next Thursday, still very, 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 very excited about it. Optimistic Bobby is very excited about it. At 50 West Brewing Company, next Thursday, we are going to have our big preseason spectacular live show in the Beer Garden at 50 West at 7 o'clock. That's September 8th, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, 50 West Beer Garden. Come on down, myself, Jay, Mo Egger, James Rapine from Sports Illustrated, Kelsey Conway from The Enquirer, Mike Petraglia from CLNS, Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com. I mean, and there's going to be more. That's just the people that have definitely confirmed to me, so I can hold it over their head. Optimistic Bobby will be there. We will be fielding. I got some ideas for some different games that we're going to play, but we're going to be fielding all kinds of questions and predictions and talking about this season in depth. And then afterwards, the beers will flow. The Bills-Rams game will be on the Jumbotron, and we'll be hanging out all night watching that game. And it's just going to be a ton of fun, and really looking forward to being down there at 50 West. It was a great time last year, and we hope to see you back down there again this year.
Yeah, it will be a true roundtable. I mean, that's going to be a large group. All of the people that you guys love to follow that cover this team are going to be there, and I'm really looking forward to it too. I love seeing the fans. You see them on Twitter as avatars, but to meet them in person is pretty cool. And then that's going to be maybe one of the best games on the early NFL schedule, that Rams Bills game. I'm really interested to see that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then it'll be Bengals versus Steelers in week one. And that's why I was like, you know what? We could just bring Mark on next week. But no, let's just bring the whole gang back together. And so this is going to count for our Mark Caboli preview. And he's got some very fun things to say about the Pittsburgh Steelers, is all I can tell you. This is very informative for me. I really enjoyed it. And I think you will, too. So without further ado, let's bring in our good friends from around the division for the podcast. It's just time to just have a group chat session as the season's getting ready to get going. So the entire AFC North award-winning whip-around crew is here on the podcast. Of course, myself and Jay, you know, but Zach Jackson from Cleveland, Jeff Zrebeck from Baltimore, Mark Caboli in Pittsburgh. It's just so good to see you guys.
You know, it's even better to be here. Thank you.
Is it?
it'd be better if I didn't have to see Zach right now. But
understandable. Understandable. Yeah. The good news is for everyone that this is just audio only. We're not going to use the video. So you're allowed to look how you look, Mark, and that's good.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah. You know, we'll just let people figure it out for themselves. So here's where we're going to just kind of do a whip around style. We've got a few questions to go through here and see. I feel like some of them are definitely geared specifically towards a few individual beats. however, I think everybody can have some interesting thoughts from what's going on in their world. So I got six questions. We'll see if we have enough time to get to them before we have to get out of here. Well, I'm going to start with this one. And I guess if I have to pick someone who should start with this one, I'll start with Zach. Number one, in Cleveland, explain your quarterback situation.
So there's this guy named Jacoby Brissett. He'll be in Canton someday, but right now he's in Cleveland. There's a really nice golf course in Canton. no, listen, I don't. The Browns signed Jacoby Brissett because he's been through this stuff, because he's smart, he's sturdy, he doesn't turn a ball over. You know, he's played on a day's notice, he's played on a week's notice, he's replaced Andrew Luck. So the guy's been through some shit storms, right? He's a backup quarterback. He's 29. He's been in the league for 6 years. He's started 37 games and they haven't gone well. So, you know, you pick what you like, which is that he's big and can stand in the pocket, which that he obviously can process an offense and process a defense and keep you upright. The Browns are going to hand the ball off a lot. The Browns are going to throw a lot of screens. The Browns are going to rely on their defense. So it's Jacoby Brissett and then it's Josh Dobbs. And Watson, assuming he does his treatment, will be eligible in December. But in the meantime, they're going to try to win a lot of 17-16, 16-13 kind of games. They do trust their running game and defense are good enough. They have to know that there's nothing from the pass game that's going to scare anyone. So Amari Cooper looks good. David Njoku will put up some fantasy numbers, but Brissett is extremely limited and the pass game will be extremely limited.
Mark, you're a good second person to talk about this.
You just copy and paste what Zach just said and say about the same exact thing other than the 11-game suspension here. I mean, it's been the biggest farce of a competition that you've ever seen before. Mitch Trubisky was always brought in here to be the starter, regardless if they drafted Kenny Pickett and regardless of how well Mason Rudolph has played here. And once again, there's a reason why Mitch Trubisky is what he is. And he's just a guy that's another guy. He's a guy probably ranked in the bottom tier of quarterbacks in the league. And they're going to do the same thing. Try to make easy throws, rely on defense. Hopefully the run game comes along and, you know, win a lot of 17-16 games here. So it's going to be a great game week three up in Cleveland on a Thursday night.
We predicted the score now.
Yeah, you know, first 1-3 wins the game. So, I think they always wanted to go with Mitch Trubisky here, even though it hasn't become official yet. It's been official since day one that they think that he gives him the best chance of not messing up. And if they had a guy like Mitch Trubisky 2019 when Roethlisberger tore up his elbow, then maybe they would have made the playoffs and not crumbled down the stretch there. They're wanting to bring Kenny Pickett along slow here, but the quarterback play that's good on the next two guys you're going to be talking about is far off from the quarterback play in Pittsburgh and probably Cleveland early in the season. So
at what point in the season do they go, do they pull the string and just go to pick it?
I think Trubisky's going to have a longer leash than what you think. I think they want to bring Pickett along extremely slow. And, of course, if there's an injury, I think Trubisky's going to have to fail for multiple weeks, which could, if you look at the first 6 or 7 weeks, it's a pretty difficult schedule. But I don't see one interception, one bad game, a couple bad practices, and Trubisky's out. Now, I'm sure we'll get to this later on. He might get knocked out of the game because of that offensive line. But if it's up to them, I think Trubisky, if they had their choice, they wouldn't probably play Kenny Pickett at all this year, but we know that's not going to be a choice. They're going to probably get him in there.
Jeff, it's interesting. I think the Baltimore quarterback situation is known on the field, but the off the field is just fascinating with Lamar.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah. I mean, you guys are talking about not having to make the quarterback do too much and win the game by himself. You look at the Ravens now, and it just looks like a team that's going to need Lamar to put the Superman cape on and win them a lot of games, because they're, you know, it's a pretty flawed roster otherwise. But yeah, off the field, I mean, Lamar had made clear that there's going to be a deadline where they're going to stop the contract talks. He said it's going to be before week one. I don't know what that means. Does that mean the Monday when they start practice in preparation for the Jets? Does that mean, you know, the Saturday, the day before the game? I would think it means it's coming up in the next 2 or 3 days. There's been really no buzz about, like, and there's been no signs that there's been a lot of progress. But then again, that's how this whole deal's been negotiated. It's Eric DaCosta talking to Lamar Jackson, and they don't share any details. The Ravens are very concerned about you know, violating the trust between their franchise quarterback. There's been no leaks here. Lamar has such a smart inner circle. I don't think anybody really knows what he wants. I think people assume he wants, you know, the Watson guaranteed deal or a little more than that. I think that's the assumption, but he's never come out and said that. And, you know, I think we know Steve Bisciotti's not going to let the Browns dictate what he pays their franchise quarterback. That's not how Steve Bisciotti's going to do business. So it's kind of been at the they've kind of been at a stalemate here to see which side blinks first. And deadlines kind of spur compromise, as we all know over the years. But, you know, we'll see if they can get it done here. The Ravens are comfortable if they have to franchise them next year. I know that opens up a bunch of new things. I know that's not ideal, but they are comfortable if they have to do that. How comfortable Lamar Jackson is playing under the tag, I mean, we shall see. We'll see if he's kind of motivated to move closer to the Ravens side here as the deadline gets closer. But yeah, this has been hanging overhead for over a year now. It's one of the more unique stories I've ever covered, just because no one talks about it. I mean, no one gives any concrete information about it. There's no one really even to call. I mean, Lamar's not talking to people about it. And, you know, DaCosta and, you know, other than saying they want to get it done, they haven't said anything in a while about it. So, yeah, it's a unique situation here. Maybe we have some resolution in the next 2 or 3 days, but there's kind of been no indication publicly that we're heading that direction.
How's he looked? I mean, how, as far as camp goes, like as a player, any thoughts hanging over him or?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's that's one thing he's pretty good at. You know, the louder the buzz is about him, you know, all the questions about whether he was legitimate heading into 2019 when he had the full-time job. You know, we know his first year he kind of took over on the fly and, you know, did not play well in the playoffs. And when they moved on from Flacco, that spurred all the questions of, you know, is this the guy? You know, he's still raw and all that, but he played his best football that year. So, you know, he's a very motivated guy. He takes slights personally. I think he'll be dialed in. It will be interesting to watch. He put on some pounds, like in a good, he looks good. He looks muscular. They've said it's, you know, lean mass or whatever you want to call it. Something I don't know much about, but he had a solid solid camp. He didn't play at all in the preseason. I think like a lot of kind of he's a veteran now. You see him get kind of bored about midway through the camp and maybe the level drops a little bit. But there's been no indication that he won't be anything but dialed in, when they start next week against the Jets.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Jay, this question isn't really directed to this beat. Burrow's still a quarterback. It's good. He's good, right? I mean, I think that about covers it.
Yeah. I mean, the Bengals situation is everything the other three is not. There's no legal issue. There's no competition. And there's no shortage of weapons around the quarterback. And he's on a rookie deal. It's ideal and ascending. It's everything that you really could want for in a quarterback situation.
Okay, here's a question. We know what Watson got.
Appendix, though. Once you get rid of that, you're good.
Hey, guys, we know what Watson got, and it set the record. How much more is Burrow going to get?
That's really, the people that I've talked to, it's a matter of, what Joe's been so different in almost the way he's treated everything. Is he going to, there's a thought, I don't think it's necessarily real, but is he going to be Mahomesian? In the like, look, that's just a lot of money and that sounds great. I don't care how it's structured because they'll give him the most money however he wants it.
It'd be like a 52-year contract.
Right. I mean, I'm sure Mike, it was the first name that Mike Brown mentioned when his cut was asked about the contract for this season was, yeah, that train's coming. And I liked the way Mahomes thought about it. And I thought, I bet you do, Mike. I bet you love that, you know? And I don't think Burrow is going to be a hold him over to the Coles type of guy, especially because Mike loves paying quarterbacks. But yeah, I think 55, 60 mil per year, they'd love to give him a ton up front and less guarantee money as they always try to do. But I mean, it's going to be massive. It's going to break whatever records you want broken.
Yeah. Crazy.
It is.
The thing about the Lamar deal is, there's so much pressure on him. I know you got to worry about yourself, but there's so much pressure on him. You know, there's hundreds of agents out there that can't wait to nitpick that contract and talk about how dumb Lamar was not to have an agent. You know, it's going to be a feeding frenzy. So they're going to be, I think that just adds an element of it. You know, I know Herbert and Burrow are behind him and everyone's looking at this deal. But if he signs a deal that's perceived to be not very good, he's never going to hear the end of it, given how he decided to negotiate this. So, that's probably one of the reasons he's kind of dug in here and not budged over what he wants and good for him. But you just know there's dozens of agents just lining up ready to say how he erred and how they could have gotten him a better deal than he'll eventually get.
Let's move away from the QB position for a second, and we'll go back to you, Zach. If this non-quarterback player goes down for the year in week one, your team is screwed. Who is that?
Well, I think Myles Garrett is probably the single most transcendent player from the Browns. But they've done a good job. They've complimented him with Clowney. Nick Chubb would be a possible answer to that question. They've done a good job. They have the deepest running back room. Now there's a big fall off to even Kareem Hunt, who's a former rushing champ from Nick Chubb, but they're okay there. Denzel Ward is a top five corner in this league. They've done a pretty good job with Greg Newsome. So it's Garrett or Ward. And they need, this is a top heavy defense. They've invested in this defense being good. And it was really good at the end of the year. Last year, they finally have some continuity. And Garrett is a guy who can, be the defensive player of the year, at least in the discussion. He can have 20 sacks and they're going to need him too. So, they've built it the way this defense looks almost exactly how they wanted it to look. And they just feel like, okay, when we need a play, when we need that huge stop or that batted ball pick away, whatever it's going to be, that Myles Garrett can make it. So yeah, they need 17 games and 20 sacks out of Myles Garrett to be a playoff team.
Mark, TJ Watt, is it just that simple?
I don't think it's going to be TJ Watt. It could be. I mean, you don't have a guy that has 22 sacks in the season, defensive player of the year. And I think he has something like 78 sacks in the past 4 years. Especially with the depth behind them, they don't have any of that either. So I'm actually going against my argument here. I mean, they just signed Malik Reed, and he's basically the only guy that they have behind as the number three linebacker between he and Alex Smith, Highsmith. So he needs to stay healthy. However, I'm going to go on the other side of the ball with Najee Harris. Even though I think he will have some pedestrian numbers here, I mean, I can see a lot of 10 carries, 37 yards because of this offensive line. But he is the only guy they have, and he has that threat of, breaking one, having big games, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. He had 72 catches last year. He had well over 300 touches last year. They need to have that threat of play action and being able to run the ball to have any chance on offense. Without TJ Watt, you still got Hayward, you still got Minka Fitzpatrick, you got Miles Jack. It would be a huge loss, but I don't think it would be as big of a loss of losing Najee, because behind him, you ready for this? Jaylen Warren. I'm sure you've never heard of him. behind him would be Derek Watt, and he has about as many carries as me as a fullback, and I'm sure there's another one. Benny Snell. You guys should know him in Cincinnati. Well, and he has about 1.1 yard per carry this preseason. So there's not much in the way of depth behind them, and they're going to give Najee the ball a ton, and he needs to produce. But with that offensive line, that might be hard to do. So I'm going with the big man with the quads about this big right now to be able to be irreplaceable on this team.
Very Pittsburgh of you to choose a running back. I appreciate that, staying on brand.
You would think it would be linebacker, right? Because it's the linebackers. But, I mean, I just totally glossed over a guy that had 22 sacks last year as defensive player of the year, that's saying, yeah, he's not that important.
So, too early in the morning. So it's a you problem is what we're saying. Yeah. Jeff, what about Baltimore?
Can I pick both of them?
Have to pick one. Don't be soft. Like, just have a take.
Zach picked two.
Yeah. He didn't. He started with one. I think Garrett was clearly 1A. You just like hedged and moved on to Harris. It's fine, Mark. Jeff, what do you got?
Yeah, you could go a couple ways, but Mark Andrews is this passing game. I think all you guys have seen it. It's an annual joke before the Browns play the Ravens, how many yards Andrews is going to get. Zach enjoys that with their coverage of tight ends. But, I mean, there were practices this offseason where they had to just sit him aside because they throw to him on every play. You've seen this receiving core. I think Bateman is a player. I think he'll be much better this year. But the other guys after it, James Fouché, Devin Duvernay, DeMarcus Robinson – there's just not a whole lot of accomplished experience there. Mark Andrews is going to be the guy for this team. He's an all-pro tight end. He had a great year last year. And we know how much Lamar loves throwing at tight ends. If they were to lose him, it would get pretty ugly offensively for them.
What do you think, Jay?
So would it be too flip to say rookie left guard Cordell Volson, based on what we've seen from Jackson Carmen in the preseason?
There's no one else. No, Max Sharping is here, Jay. He's
yeah, you're right. You're right. And you could also make a case for Evan McPherson, just based on what this team did in the red zone last year and what a weapon he is. I mean, they get to the 40 and they know they've got three. That allows them to take some of those deep shots and chances. But I'm going to kind of go in the same mode as Zach here and go Trey Hendrickson. He's just such a difference maker off that edge. And yes, you've got a lot of young guys with potential that they like, but nobody you wouldn't think is going to give you the production that Hendrickson gives you. And he just created so much for that defense, especially in that playoff round. All those interceptions were off of pressures. And I think he's the guy that they would be in the worst shape if they lost.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. People don't understand how much they didn't have a whole lot of pass rush win rate happening elsewhere on that line last year. And it was so much of it was, you know, they had guys that were pretty good at creating a little bit of disruption and push the pocket a little bit, but Hendricks was always the finisher and always the one that was getting in there when they needed it in big spots. The weakness of your team, Zach Jackson.
Well, the pass game stands out, you know. I think every team, right, has depth issues. Every team has one position group or two position groups that clearly aren't as strong as the others. And this is a good division, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Browns know what they're going to get or think they know what they're going to get out of Amari Cooper, and they've got nothing else. Donovan Peoples-Jones is just a guy. David Bell's a rookie who's working from behind because he missed some time in the summer. You know, Demetric Felton, we didn't think was going to make the team. Anthony Schwartz can't catch. He's a wide receiver who can't catch. Their $15 million tight end, David Njoku, can't catch. So it's tough. You know, like I said, it's a really good O-line. It should be a really good defense. And it's the deepest running back core. There is four guys who could play for anybody, including Nick Chubb, who I put in the top three. So you see how it has to be. And we'll see how it goes, you know, once we get started.
Mark, do you just go back to the quarterback or you?
It's offensive line.
Yeah.
It's offensive line by a mile. They spent about $70+ million on three guys, James Daniel, Mason Cole, and they gave Chukwuma Okorafor for some reason, $30 million over 3 years. And they brought in a new offensive line coach, new scheme. And it's just crap. It's just unbelievable crap. Those quarterbacks have been running for their lives all preseason. They can't open any holes. Teams like Jacksonville, Detroit, and Seattle just stymied them in the preseason. And these aren't the best teams in the world. And I don't know how it's going to get better right now. I mean, they've changed their depth around, you know, in the back end, in which that's not going to help you. And you're not going to go out and find somebody at this point in the season and be able to plug them in here. I mean, the bottom line is this is the third straight year now they have basically a complete turnover on the offensive line, including offensive line coach. It's their fourth offensive line coach in 24 months. And it's just, I mean, we hear the cohesion talk all the time. They have some decent players, you think, on paper, but it just has not translated on the field right now. And that's probably one of the reasons why Trubisky is going to get the start, because he's the best one can get away from some of this pass rush that's going to come against him. And plus, if he gets hurt, then you can go to Pickett after that. But offensive line is just awful. That's why I say – at least you have the threat of Najee Harris maybe breaking some tackles here to be able to gain some yards early on, because unless something drastic happens within this first month, it's just you're just going to see Mr. Trubisky get hit early and often, and there's not going to be much of a running game at all. There's not much you can do about it. I mean, they had picked Kendrick Green in the third round last. Let me give you a little story. Third round last year, moved him from guard to center. It was so bad that they moved him back to guard. He was so bad at guard, they just benched him. And you can't do that with a third round pick. I mean, you know, 12 games into his career, he's now benched because he can't play two positions. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do there. So it's a bad situation offensive line in Pittsburgh. So easily offensive line, even over quarterback.
You know what they say. I mean, if you've got a bad offensive line and a bad quarterback, you can still win in this league. Yeah.
Well, you know what? The Steelers had the worst offensive line I ever saw in 08. Roethlisberger was sacked 58, 59 times, and they won the Super Bowl. So, well.
Hey, Joe Burrow was sacked 70 times, and he was in the Super Bowl last year. Maybe this really is the key. Yes. This really is the key, Mark. We figured it out. We solved the NFL Rubik's Cube. Jeff, what do you got?
You know, obviously, I talked earlier about, you know, some of the questionable weapons they have beyond Andrews and Bateman. But, you know, I think the most concerning thing when you look at the Ravens roster right now is like, where are the linebackers? I mean, you know, it's a proud defensive team. They've always been able to, you know, boast of some edge rushers and some inside linebackers that can make plays, difference making players. And, you know, they right now have two outside linebackers on their entire 53 man roster. And one of them's Justin Houston, who, as we know, is getting up there and should not be playing a ton of snaps. I think Odafe Owe will be a very good player in this league, but still learning. They just lack an edge rush. I mean, you know, we keep waiting for them to bring somebody in. They'll probably use like the practice squad elevations earlier in the season on guys, but you know, the top guy in the practice squad, Steven Means, who has like, you know, who had no sacks in 15 games last year. It's going to be an issue there. Tyus Bowser, the returning sack leader, is out till at least week 5. He had the Achilles against Kaboli Steelers there. In week 18. And he should be ready to go in week 5. Maybe David Ajabu, the rookie out of Michigan, who tore his Achilles in the pro day at Michigan, will be ready at some point. But you look at the teams in the AFC North and you look at who the Bengals have on the edge. You look at who the Browns have on the edge. You look at Watt, obviously. And the Ravens just don't have that difference-making edge rusher, never mind two of them at this point. And no matter how good your secondary is, as we've seen in the past, your defense is not going to be able to hold up unless you get some pressure on the quarterback. And that's an area of concern for the Ravens.
What would you say, Jay?
Yeah, I think anywhere on the Bengals team, it's going to be depth at a certain position. And you worry about the depth behind the big three receivers. You worry about the depth at tight end. That might be the most glaring one, but tight end is what it is. I think it's got to be O-line depth. And anywhere you're talking about this, you're talking about in case of injury, and you're talking 5 offensive linemen. The odds are you're not going to get all those guys playing the whole game. And it's crazy to think that they went to the Super Bowl last year with Burrow getting hit that much. So is it really a problem? But it is concerning when you look at what they have behind all of those starters. And even the starters, 3 of them are new to this team, and Leo Collins hasn't done much we didn't do much in OTAs or camp. He's had 2 full days of practices. Well, not even 2 full days, because one ended in a fight and ended early.
It's fact.
That's got to be it, especially when you're talking about you're starting a rookie at left guard and you've got Jackson Carman behind him, and there's really no proven center behind Ted Karras. It's just, if they have injuries on that O-line, even one could really derail what this offense wants to do.
That's the difference, right? Is if they have injuries on the O-line, their O-line will look like last year. It'll literally be the same guys. Like, that's just it. The guys they brought into, those guys don't have to play. You would have to trot them back out. But like you said, I mean, they did find ways to win last year. I agree. I mean, I think they don't have a glaring weakness. I think, like we've heard some of you guys talk about, in the same way with like starters, but clearly I think the idea of depth is where they're untested. They didn't have to be tested last year because they didn't have hardly any injuries. And we'll see what happens this year. Let's do this one real quick. Dumbest storyline that people spend too much time talking about, Zach.
Well, the Browns live in that world.
Yeah.
And I've long said that, like, in part of their comeback from the bottom, like the threshold they have to pass is that every single story you hear about what's going on is not assumed to be true. Yeah. But there is an easy answer here, and it's recent. It's this, the thought that anything Baker Mayfield would say or anything the Browns would say has anything to do with what happens in week 1, right?
Yeah.
The Browns dumped Baker Mayfield. Baker didn't like it. Of course he didn't. Panthers were the only suitor and they play week 1. So it's how it had to go. You know, a couple people in the Browns building liked Baker. A lot of them didn't. Baker's never backed down from a fight in his life, you know, on social media, in a press conference, on a football field. So to think that any edge is gained by anything that goes up in the locker room or is tweeted or is Instagrammed or whatever the hell is rather ridiculous. And there'll be a game next week and the first team to score 17 will win.
Mark, what's the dumbest storyline in Pittsburgh?
Well, there's only one storyline in Pittsburgh. I mean, there's multiple storylines in other cities other than the quarterback, right? But I'm even going to dive a little deeper here how dumb this one has become. Third string quarterback Mason Rudolph. Yeah. Boy, are people enamored over him and wanting him out of town. They think that, it's all that's talked about. Why is Mason Rudolph still on this team? They should trade him for a 6th-round pick. They should trade him for a 7th-round pick. We're talking about a third-string quarterback who, he makes $3 million and he's basically staying around for an insurance policy where he's going to leave somewhere next year and you're going to be able to get some compensatory pick. Well, at least be eligible one if he goes somewhere else. But, boy, people are all over that. They need to get rid of Mason Rudolph. I mean, you just look at 3 years ago. They got down to Duck Hodges as a third-string quarterback, a guy that was a tryout in May from Samford, and they had to play him. Things happen quite quickly in the NFL. And to have Mason Rudolph as a emergency third-string quarterback for relatively no money is a no-brainer, but not in Pittsburgh. They want him out. They hate him more here than the fans in Cleveland hate. Unbelievable. And it's just dumb. It's just dumb. Who cares?
What do you got, Jeff?
I this preseason streak, I'm just so over hearing about. I mean, maybe it doesn't have I think everything about it. One, the narrative that they go all out to win these games, which is ridiculous. They didn't play anybody this year. They've always been kind of middle of the pack playing their stars in the preseason. They usually get a quarter at most. This year, Harbaugh went entirely the other direction, didn't play them at all. Most of their players will be making their debut this season next Sunday against the Jets. But just the whole narrative, the excitement over it, you know, I include it in a tweet. Ravens won their 23rd straight, preseason game, whatever. Sure. But that's as much as I've ever really done other than mention a line of it. Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those, it's kind of unique. It's kind of funny. But beyond that, the two sides trying to derive major meaning out of it one way or the other, beyond the fact that, look, the Ravens take undrafted free agency very seriously. They always have, and they annually have a lot of those guys stick, or at least one or two of those guys stick on the roster, and those are the guys playing in two of the four quarters in the preseason, most of them, sometimes more than that. So, culture, all these things people want to make of it. No, I'm just kind of over it. I was kind of hoping they lost this past year just so we don't have to hear about it for a while.
I hope it goes on forever, Jeff. For you. We need this. What do you think it is here, Jay?
Yeah, I struggled with this when I was trying to come up with something. It seems like most of the storylines this offseason have been legitimate and relevant to the team. I think it might be the indoor practice facility because the fans that are so up in arms or interested, it has nothing to do with them. They're never going to enjoy it. They're never going to be inside there to get out of the weather. It's all about the players and how much does that really lead to winning? It's nice on cold days. And even here in Cincinnati, there's not that many brutal days. Now, if they're going to be playing into February every year, like they hope for the next several, then maybe that changes a little bit. But I can't remember too many just absolutely brutal practices where you would say you wish you were indoors. And maybe it's more about the precipitation than the cold. But I don't get the fans just interest in just nonstop salivating over the idea of an indoor practice facility, and it is coming. And there's still a lot of buzz about it.
I think this is all Caboli's boy Pat McAfee's fault, because Pat McAfee only screams about the Bengals not having an indoor practice facility whenever he would talk about the team forever. And it's a state of embarrassment. As a fan, fans are just embarrassed that their team doesn't have one. It's embarrassing. Are you not a professional franchise? Get an indoor practice facility. Why? How are we talking about this?
I'll tell you something, Paul. The Steelers have one for 20-some years now, and it better be 0 degrees and 4 feet of snow, or Tomlin's not going to take him in there. Yeah. He doesn't like to play him on the turf. So they're out in the outside regardless of the situation. So there have been times where the Steelers haven't went inside until January. So yeah. I don't know how, like Jay would say, I don't know how much it's really used and how much coaches really want to use that thing either.
I'm going to chime in here. With the naming rights, we're down to one Paul Brown Stadium in Ohio. It's at Massillon High School. And next to it is a full 100-yard indoor facility. that's way nicer than the one the Browns have.
I have no doubt about that. Let's wrap this up here with this last question. Percentage chance your team wins the division, and what has to happen for that, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, they have to get their blueprint. You know, they have to stay healthy, and, you know, they have to just be in contention when the quarterback comes back and they can do things. I mean, they're just going to be very limited offensively. So the Browns can make the playoffs. Do I think they can win the division? No. You know, to me, when I say 25%, 30%, that might be a little low in terms of thinking maybe this thing becomes a complete train wreck, right? And everybody beats everybody and the quarterback goes down and it ends up being 9 or 10 to get there. But I have the Browns just being eventually a 7 or 8 win team, being competitive and having a good roster, but, you know, just through all the turmoil, I don't have it being enough. So I would say 25%. And now that I spit that out, that maybe seems a little high, but I'll stick with it.
Mark, what is the chance that your terrible offensive line and Mitch Trubisky can get this team over the top?
Well, I don't know if you guys have heard this before, but Mike Tomlin has never had a losing streak.
What?
Have you heard that?
Do you have the research on that? Can we see the
numbers? Apparently, you know, never had a losing season. So you might as well pencil in the 9 wins or at least the 8 wins and 1 tie already. So they only have to win 1 game to make basically get into the playoffs here. But I would say there's too much to overcome offensively here in a good division, a good conference to make the playoffs. Maybe I'll give it like 26% chance. What has to happen is this defense has to be stellar. I mean, we have to talk about Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, and I keep throwing Miles Jack in there because I think he's been very, very good to having all pro caliber seasons and win games 7-3 for this to happen. Cause I just don't think they have the quarterback or the offensive line play to be able to keep up with the big boys over there in Cincinnati.
What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, one of the things the Ravens have done so well over the years is just consistency. You know, they're not always – they're not quite the streak that Mr. Tomlin has going there, but they're not always – you know, you don't always expect them to make a deep run, but most of the years you expect them to be there in December, at least competing for a playoff spot. This year, they just – to me – they just have a lot of boom or bust potential. They just have so many questions because they're relying so much on injured guys, you know, that are coming off really significant things. We still haven't seen Ronnie Stanley out there. He's played like one game since, as Mark remembers, Watt in that, you know, rolled up on him, obviously accidentally. But Dobbins hasn't really been – he's been out there a little bit. Gus Edwards is out till midseason. Bowser hasn't practiced yet. They just have so many major injury questions, and that's why I would be concerned. I think for this team to – as I said earlier, I think Lamar Jackson is going to have to carry him like he did last year in a lot of ways for midseason when, you know, they were the number one seed heading into December, despite all their injuries, because Lamar Jackson was, you know, one of the favorites for league MVP. And then his level dropped and he got injured eventually. And then they, you know, went in the tank and finished in last. So this year's team, I'm surprised how excited, you know, I'm not saying they're going to be well coached. They're going to have really good special teams. They have a talented roster. They'll be able to do some things offensively. Jackson's one of the most dynamic players in the game. So don't get me wrong. They'll absolutely be in the hunt here for the division title. I think they're, I think they're probably a 10-win team, I would say. Nine or 10 wins right now, depending on how some things shake out. And, you know, I guess I would say in the 40s as far as a percentile to win division, 40-45%. But I'm a little surprised that more people aren't accepting the Bengals as the clear favorite here.
You can't do that, Jeff. Not allowed to accept the Bengals nationally. Does it matter if they play in the Super Bowl? They're not allowed to be accepted as irrelevant. It was just luck, and that's all that they are. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I'm not doing it either. I'm not making the clear favorite. I've got them at 38%, and I've got Baltimore at 37%. Then Pittsburgh 15, Cleveland 10. But for it to happen, Joe Burrow start and finish 15 games. I think if it – that's where it starts and ends. If you've got that guy, you've got a chance. Yes, the O-line could fall apart, but like you said, it looks like last year's, and last year they still got to the Super Bowl with that line. I mean, it could be a crazy rash of injuries at key positions that could derail this thing, but as long as you've got Burrow back there at quarterback and starting at least and finishing at least 15 games, I think they're right there in the mix. And honestly, if I was putting a paycheck down on this instead of just pulling a percentage out of the air, I think I would lean toward Baltimore. But because the Bengals are the defending champ, I think they get the benefit of the doubt. They've got almost that whole starting unit back. And then the three new ones are all on the O-line are improvements, you would think. So I'll give them the slight edge at 38% to 37%.
Yeah, I'm with you too, Jay. I think it's closer than people think. I mean, I look, you know, obviously what the Bengals were able to do to the Ravens and Steelers in particular last year, you know, both double digit wins in all four games and just really taking them behind the woodshed makes you think, okay, if you have the same guys back, even though Baltimore will look very, very different, you like their chances to do that. And they were, 5-1 against the AFC West, the vaunted AFC West. The Bengals were last year, including games in the playoffs with it all on the line. So the idea that they're going to have some massive fall off when they really haven't lost anything and only gained, I think is off. But I don't know, Jeff. I think you're just a little too close to it. You're just too close negative to the Ravens to be being too down on them. You know, you've been hanging out with the rest of this division too much.
Yeah, I mean, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. I agree with that. They've never, under Harbaugh, they've never had two back-to-back disappointing years. And you know, they were just gutted last year. Everybody has injuries. They kind of had a historic run, you know, that started with losing three running backs in about a week span before the start of the season. So we'll see. I just think this is a year where everyone says, okay, you know, they'll be moved on. The injuries are in the past, but none of those guys are back yet. So until they're back, and, you know, especially the Dobbins is the guy, you know, if they this team needs to have a really good running back to do what they can do offensively. And, you know, maybe Dobbins will be healthy enough. He'll eventually be that guy. It's just going to take a little bit.
Guys, I appreciate your time. I know it's a busy time, and I hope you guys enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And I look forward to seeing all of you as we cross each other's paths throughout the year. I think thanks for joining us.
I'll be at the bar. Yeah.
Sure. See you guys. All right. Thanks again to Mark Caboli in Pittsburgh, Zach Jackson in Cleveland, and Jess Rebeck in Baltimore for hopping on with us. Two sides sound a little bit optimistic and two sides sound not so optimistic, Jay. I think it's pretty, anybody that said is the AFC North a two-team race need only listen to that if you're judging by at least the expectations before the season start for what this will be.
I mean, you can't help but feel sorry for Zach Jackson covering that beat. I mean, I don't know how he does it. We joked a lot before the Bengals became relevant again about the kind of the groundhog nature day of this franchise. But man, that it's just it's the same thing year after year after year in Cleveland. And Zach does a great job chronicling it.
I will say this is kind of a new nightmare in Cleveland. Yeah. A nightmare. It's still Groundhog Day in the nightmarish way, but it's sort of like they've created a whole new one for themselves. We'll all be following along. But I do, you know, it's going to be, this is a really interesting, fascinating division because I do think that you will see, I think between the Browns and the Steelers, one of the two of them, their defenses will carry them to relevancy towards the late end of the season and have them in the mix. It's just a matter of if the rest of it, I would obviously say Cleveland probably has a better shot at that just because they have reinforcement coming at quarterback, in week 12, that could maybe help them along and they have a more dominant run game and offensive line. But I mean, how many times you got to see Mike Tomlin do it until you just say, you know, I've never understood how he does it before. Why would you think that it's going to be different again this year?
I mean, think about it. That was a playoff team last year, and their quarterback's going to be better this year. Whether it's Pickett or Trubisky, it's going to be better than old man Ben Roethlisberger was in his final year. So, I think people are sleeping on the Steelers. I know I only gave them a 10 or 15% chance, whatever it was, to win the division, but I just because I think the Ravens and Bengals are so much farther ahead of them, but I do think with Tomlin's track record of never having a losing season, and with that defense, if as Mark said, if they can get that offensive line figured out, they could be a real player.
That you just never know what you're going to get around here in this division. If there's one thing that we've learned, and last year should have been a prime example yes. to everybody. If you could go back to whip arounds before the season and kind of what the thought was in the lead up to last year, you never quite know what's going to pop off on your screen. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to all that. Great to have those guys, and looking forward to having them back as the Bengals, play all of them during the course of the season. And that'll be fun. Thanks again to them for taking their time out. We really appreciate it. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We will see you on Tuesday as we go full Bengals season preview edition of the podcast. Looking forward to bringing that to you. We'll talk to you then. Have a good one, everybody.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.